You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Manchester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
These preachers are going to preach amazing messages. We got three of them. They're going to come up and they're going to preach amazing messages, but no matter how good they preach, the actual outworking of it and the impact in your life will be determined by how expectant you are to receive tonight. So I want to encourage you, don't sit back. Don't sit back and relax. Don't sit back and think, well, we've had our fun now. I'm just going to ride this out to the end of the service. Lean in. Take notes. Shout them down. Do whatever you need to do in order to be expectant in this place tonight. Because if I know God, I know one thing, that He wants to move in this place tonight. So with that said, we're going to introduce our first preacher of the night. And it's a privilege to have this guy in our house. To know him is to love him. And I want you to encourage him, shout him down, and get so much out of his message tonight. Come on, let's welcome Raffaro to the stage.
Oh, yeah. Come on, good evening, Audacious. Come on. Come on, take your seats, take your seats. Thank you. Come on, God is good. And all the time? Come on, man, we got some Christians in the house today. Come on. I need everybody to turn to your neighbor real quick. Say, neighbor, I see you. Say, neighbor, I see you. Come on, man, let's get into the Word of God. Come on. So my message today in this series of contenders is called See Yourself as God Sees You. Come on, I have loved this series on contenders. I think it's been absolutely amazing. Come on, Sunday nights are incredible. We come up here feeling amazing, but I think often we hit Monday morning and we're like, am I a contender? When you're in college, when you're in school, you know, when you're in your office, your university, are you still contending there? I'm here to tell you guys, see yourself not as you see yourself, but as God sees you. Come on, let's get into this. So yeah, often I feel like we disqualify ourselves from being contenders. We hear these great preachers, last week from Ben, and you know, from Pastor Paul, and like, on a Sunday, like, yeah, I'm a contender. But then Monday morning comes and you're like, am I a contender? I believe that's down to how you see yourself. Most of us don't see ourselves as contenders. We like to think of it on the Sunday night, but come Monday morning, we don't carry that same energy with us. That's because we're hyped here, but we're not grabbing hold of something. I want to tell you guys, grab hold of something tonight. We're going to hear three amazing preachers. Well, two. Hopefully mine goes all right. But grab something. Grab something. Do not disqualify yourself. Come on. I believe, you know, the verse that we've kind of been going with for a whole series of contenders is Jude 1 verse 3, which says, contend or defend the faith that you have been entrusted with. I need you guys to recognize how important and how precious the faith that you have been entrusted with is. And if you don't know that you have been entrusted with faith, let me tell you right now, you have been entrusted with a faith. I'm going to let you know what that means. So come on. So let's read Romans 12 verse 3. I'm reading the second half of that. It says this: be honest in your evaluation of yourself by the faith that God has given you. Now, the context of that verse is talking about don't be too proud, don't think too highly of yourselves. But I think for a lot of us, for a lot of my generation at least, it's the opposite. You don't rate yourself enough. A lot of us don't put enough respect on our own names, and we walk like, am I a contender? You don't know who you are. You don't see yourself the way that you ought to. So you ask yourself, am I a contender? I'm here to tell you that you are a contender because God has entrusted something to you. Not just anything, the faith. And it's precious, and we're going to learn about that today. But I need you guys today to ask God, God, would you show me how you see me? Don't leave today's looking at yourself the same way that you did when you came in. Walk out of this place seeing yourself as God sees you. Come on, can I get an amen? Amen. Come on. Some of us may think that as a contender, to be a contender, sorry, you have to have it all figured out. You have to know the next step. You have to be able to see three steps ahead. Oh, I need to sort this out so that I can step out to be a contender. But I'm here to tell you that contenders don't need to wait to be told to go. Contenders just go. Contenders aren't those people who say, oh, I've got it ready. The contenders are the people who just raise their hand like, I'm ready now. I may not have it all together. I may not have my life fixed together. If you're not a Christian today, we're going to give you an opportunity to respond to the word. You don't need to come ready into the presence of God for him to know you're a contender. You could just come and he will show you you're a contender. Come Come on. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9 says this. The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. So you feel like you need to do something in order to do something great. I need to come in a certain way to be prepared for God to use me. God is saying, I don't need you to be able, I just need you to be willing. I don't need you to be able, I just need you to be willing to step out. My eyes are roaming through the earth like, oh, Mark, I see you. Oh, Janet, I see you. I see you, and I'm willing to give you my strength to do what I've called you to do. God has entrusted you with a faith, and I need you guys to see yourself how you see yourself. So I hear you asking today, how can I contend? I'm glad you asked. I'm going to answer that. I'm going to ask you, what is in your hand? What quality do you have? What attributes do you have? What is literally in your hand, material or otherwise, that is in your hand that allows you to be used for God? I'm here to tell you that being a contender is not something that you either have if you're the cherry chosen or you don't have it. Being a contender is an attitude. It is a mind state. You decide you're a contender by accepting the truth about who you are and seeing yourself as God sees you. So I need you to tell yourself that you are a contender. Tell yourself you're a contender. There we go. Come on. We're listening. I like it. So yeah, and if you're a young person in the room, I'm probably speaking more to this side of the room, and you think, oh, I'm too young. How can I be a contender? How can I, you know, represent this faith that I've been entrusted with? I want to encourage you that the Bible says in Jeremiah that, you know, be an example to the believers in your young age, in your faith, in your purity, in your speech, in your conduct, in who you are as a person. You have been entrusted with something, and God is going to use you for that. Come on, contenders don't wait for the call. Contenders make the call. Don't cancel yourselves out today, guys. Step out. Come on. So there's a story in the Bible that a lot of us know of, you know, the boy who brought 5 loaves and 2 fishes, the feeding of the 5,000. Now, God does an incredible miracle in this situation where he, you know, multiplies from little. And, you know, that's true in our finances. That's true in our time. But I believe the real contender, not a real contender in the story, was that little boy who was just obedient enough to bring his lunch whenever his mom sent him. He brought 2 loaves and 5 fishes, and from that, God did a miracle. God doesn't need you to have all the answers. He just needs you to bring what is in your hand. I need you guys to look at what is in your hand that you have. Hey, I only have two fishes and 5 loaves. I don't know if you can do anything, but I'm willing to give it to you. Let me tell you something. Whatever you have in your hand will go further in God's hands than keeping it to yourself. I need you guys to understand that whatever you have in your hand, you know, you don't need a personality type or anything like that. Whatever you have in your hand, your attitude that you have in your hand, give that to God, honor him first, and it'll go further than you can ever take it yourself. So that's why we tithe on a Sunday. It's not because, you know, we just believe in giving to an organization or an institute. We know that 90% will go further in God's hands than 100% in our own hands, because there's power in that. So what has God trusted you with today? The tag verse, the tagline that we've all been, you know, looking at throughout the series of contenders, like I said before, is in Jude 1 verse 3, which says, defend the faith that you have been entrusted. If you don't know that you've been entrusted with the faith, you've been entrusted with faith, and a measure of faith at that. And if we look back at what it says in Romans, it says, be honest in your evaluation of yourself. Respect yourself a little bit. Know who you are and understand that God has entrusted to you something. God has trusted you with a faith. But I need you to recognize how important that faith is. Do not, you know, forget how important it is. And in 2 Timothy 1 verse 14, it says, through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you. The faith is a precious gift that has been entrusted to us as a generation, as a people, as humanity. And God is saying that I need you to entrust this. Don't keep it to yourself. Go out to universities and share it. Go out into your colleges and share it. Go out into your workplace and tell somebody about it. Your faith is not a gift that is meant to stay in the house. We're meant to go out and bring it to others. You have been entrusted with something, not to keep it to yourself, but to go out and to share it. Come on. But you still don't see yourself as a contender. I'm not enough in my own strength. That's true. We are not enough in our own strength. 5 loaves and 2 fishes will not feed an entire room. But if you trust God with it, if you trust the one who gave that to you, give it back to him, he'll honor you. Come on, I need you guys to see yourself the way that God sees you. God has made you perfect in his creation. You know, we're made in the image of God, and he's a perfect God. We got to believe that. You are made whole in your mind, body, and soul. There is nothing in you that is meant to forsake you, but everything's to build you up and to grow you. God doesn't need you to be able. God needs you to be willing. What is in your hand? But I thank God that he doesn't just leave us by ourselves. If you're somebody who's saying, I'm lacking in faith, bring that to Jesus. Jesus says, I am the perfecter of your faith. I will take your faith further and higher than you could by yourself. Do not rely on what you know, but trust in who he is. Come on. By God's grace, you don't have to do it alone. I need you to step out today, guys, for his eyes roam the earth, carefully looking for those who he can strengthen and empower. God is looking for people who see themselves as who he sees them. God is looking for those whose hearts are fully committed. The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth, strengthening those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Come on. It is by God's grace, it is not by our own. It is his Holy Spirit that empowers us. So if you're waiting for a sign today, if you're waiting for a reason to know why you're a contender, I'm here to let you know that God sees you and God already entrusted you with something. Before you made a decision for him, he made a decision for you. God has already entrusted you with something. And I want you guys to open your eyes. I need you guys to pray. I'm going to invite the band to come and join me. I need you guys to pray. Say, God, show me how you see me. How does God see you? I need you to ask yourself that question today. And if you don't count yourself as a contender, I'm here to tell you that you are a contender. Because God has entrusted something into you. So open your heart. Close your eyes. And ask God to open your spiritual eyes. He's a God who gives sight to the blind. If he can do it for a physical man by rubbing dirt in his eyes, what more can he do for you right now sitting here in the middle of an auditorium in central Manchester? Church, I need you to open your eyes. See yourself as God sees you.
Wow. The presence of God is definitely in this place. Is definitely in this place. And I just love what Rafaro was talking about. We need to see ourselves as God sees us. And I'm going to take it a little bit deeper from there. I'm going to really take it to, what do we do with that faith? How do we believe? How do we have audacious faith for more? Yeah? Come on, let's grab our seats and let's get strapped in. Awesome. You can stand if you want, but I'd rather you sit. So my name is Derek. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I heard someone say once before that if you show somebody a picture of your family before you talk, they're more likely to listen to you. So this is my gorgeous family. So that's my gorgeous wife. I know I'm punching. And my beautiful daughter, Olivia, who's 17 months. So hopefully I've got your attention now. So a little bit about me. I'm a very meticulous person. I like little details. My job actually needs me to look into the details of things. I'm a business analyst, and what that means really is that businesses have issues and problems, and I have to go and look for solutions to those problems, but I can't miss the details. People come to me all the time asking questions. Hey, Derek, what about this? What about this? What about this? And I have to be on the ball all the time looking for solutions, knowing the answers as and when it's people are asking for me, so off the top of my head. And my faith can be so strong in terms of like believing God for something, believing God for more. I know he can do more. I'm expecting God to do more in certain seasons. There are other times in my life when I can very quickly forget what God has done before. And I feel we all have that season in our life where we know God can do it. We've seen him do it before. But then we go through a season when we have to really contend. We have to really believe that God can do it. And that's what I want to encourage you guys about tonight. Just really, how do you contend for your faith? How do you really contend for audacious faith? How do you believe that God can do it when you've seen him do it before in your previous seasons? I believe we all have this issue when everybody in our world, everybody around us is telling us one thing, even though we've seen, we're expecting one thing. Maybe society is telling us something. Our social media feed is telling us something that, you know, keeping up with the Joneses almost. Like, oh, this person has done it. I went to uni with this guy, and how is it that he's made it this far already? And you're looking in your own situation, and you're thinking, God, when is it my turn? Like, God, when are you going to do it for me? And I really want everybody to really, and as I'm going to unpack it all, but I really want you to have in the back of your mind your own situation. What is God doing in your life? What are you expecting from God? What are you believing God? And really having bold faith, like crazy faith, audacious faith, that God is going to do yours in right when you expect him to. So don't lose hope, basically. We allow ourselves to think it's too difficult for God. Sometimes we don't think he can do it for us. So then we start retreating, even though we've seen it. It can feel like the enemy's coming after your faith at times. Like you're trying everything within you to believe. And it's just like, man, it's tough. It's really tough to believe in this season. But I want to encourage you all, and this is from the scriptures that we've been talking about, Jude 1:3, and I love it from the Message translation, because it is literally just says, I write to you insisting, begging that you fight with everything you have, that you fight with everything you have, that you fight with everything you have in you for this faith. And as I was reflecting on that, I just really got the word that we actually have to fight for our faith. It doesn't come easy. People can may see your life, may see everything all together, like everything's great, you look confident, but then internally, you have to fight for the faith to keep holding on. You have to fight to keep believing, you have to fight. And this is what this encouragement is just saying here. And in 2 Kings, really quickly, I'm just gonna really quickly read for you, you don't have to turn to it, but 2 Kings 3:16, And he said, this is what the Lord says. I will fill this valley with pools of water. For this is what the Lord says. You will see neither wind nor rain, yet this valley will be filled with water. And you, your cattle, and your animals will drink. This is an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord. Like, I read that, I was just like, the situation that you think is difficult, God is saying, this is an easy thing in my eyes. So it's almost an encouragement, like, do you know what, when we're really fighting for this to keep holding on, this is an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord. And it just reminded me of this this parable. It's not a parable, the faith of a Roman soldier in Matthew 8:5-13. I'm not going to read the whole thing, I'm just going to pull out key verses in here, but it's when Jesus returns from Capernaum and he meets a Roman officer who pleaded with him, saying, Lord, come to me. My servant is in bed, paralyzed and in pain. And Jesus said to him, I will come to heal him. But then the officer goes on and says, actually, don't come. I just need you to speak. And I love this guy's faith, because it's like most people were expecting God to come, Jesus to come into their situation. God, come to me. And he's just like, No, don't even bother coming. I just need you to speak where you are into my situation. And I just want to encourage you guys, like, when you have when you go through those seasons of believing that, God, can you do this for me? Just, God, speak into my situation. I'm believing, I'm having faith. I really want you to do this. I want to prosper in my jobs. I want to get promotion. I want all of these great things. But God, I need you to speak into my situation. And the application of this really is sort of like audacious faith. Really what it looks like is just having bold thoughts and actions that lack reason. Really believing outrageously something and not being able to explain it. That's simply what audacious faith looks like. We always want to understand it before we move in faith. And that's like, for me, that was my struggle, because in my job, I literally have to understand it. If I don't understand it, on my screen at work, I've got a thing that says, if I can't explain it simply, I don't understand it well enough. And that's how I tend to process things. I have to understand it. But in my faith, it doesn't work that way, because I can't always explain what God is doing, but I know that he's at work. Do you get what I mean? So for me, it's taking that step. And I remember Pastor Glenn said this ages ago, that God does more behind your back than he does in front of you. And that always struck my heart so much, because there are so many things that he's outworking in your life that you don't even see. But that's the God that we serve. And this is the encouragement, right? That you have audacious faith enough to keep believing that he is working for you, that he is at work, and it's an easy thing. It is an easy thing for him. So don't ever doubt that, ever. So really, there's just one thing, just like faith begins where understanding ends. And that's literally, if anything you take away from tonight, that's literally it. Your faith begins where your understanding ends. So whenever you're going through something and you don't see how it is and you don't see, you know, a way out, I just want to encourage you all that once you stop trying to understand it, that's when your faith really starts there. And that's when you can have the audacious faith for more. So I just really want you guys to just think about these things. What would your life look like if you really believed boldly for the next season in your life, for 2020, for this next decade? What would your life look like if you stepped out in bold faith? For me personally, really quickly, I just want to share with you, when me and my wife was buying a house, some of you guys have heard this testimony, but I thought it was relevant for tonight, because for us, we can only afford a 2-bedroom house. But for some reason, this audacious faith thing looked like us stepping into like a 4-bedroom, 4-bathroom house. And I didn't see how God was going to do it, but I believed, like I knew he can do it. I can see this scripture here that it is an easy thing in his eyes, that even though we were believing for 2-bedroom, God said, no, I've got so much more in store for you here. And that's what it looked like for us. It looked us for us to actually believe and activate that faith that he could do it. And we really fought with, really fight with everything we have at times, that for we really have to fight with everything in our hearts to believe that there is more. And that's the promises. There's so many promises in God's word for us, but just stand on all of the promises that he's said in his word concerning you and all of these things that you are believing for. As long as they're timely with his plan and purpose for you, he will outwork that in your life, in Jesus' name. So I just want to wrap it up, and I just want you guys to really just reflect, like as I was saying, like what would your life look like if you really believed boldly? I want you guys during this next decade to have audacious faith for more in your life. Believe God for more. The promotion that you've ruled yourself out of it, believe that God can do it. Don't limit God with what you currently see. Don't try to understand everything, because in you trying to understand it, you're not activating your faith. So really let go of trying to understand and let God have his way in your life and dare to believe God for more. Right.
Amazing. Well, why don't you take your seats? And in a moment, we're just going to come around the time of communion and worship more. But first, I want to ask you a question. And that question is, where is your confidence? You see, when I got asked to share about contenders, I sat with some of my friends and I was talking about what it means to be a contender and fighting for something and competing for something. And I said to them, actually, I'm not that competitive. I'm pretty chilled. And who knows that we need friends that are really honest, that tell you how it is and how things are. And my friends turned to me and went, what? Are you joking? Like, in a really northern accent. You're the most competitive person I know. The thing is, you're only competitive when you know that you'll win. You're only competitive when you're confident in the outcome that is going to happen. And I just wanted to share with you for a couple of minutes, because I think sometimes in life we can do that. We can disqualify ourselves as contenders because we're not confident of what is on the other side of it, and we're not confident in the outcome. We stop ourselves from taking steps of audacious faith because we just don't know what's going to happen, because we don't know, or we're not confident about it. However, I want to suggest to you tonight that for you to embrace being a contender, that you need to be confident in where your confidence is in, but also who your confidence is in. So I want to ask you tonight, where is your confidence? Who is your confidence in? Now, the Right Reverend Google defines confidence as the belief that one can have faith in or rely on something or someone, which suggests to me that our confidence can be in anything, that we choose to rely in. It could be people's opinions, it could be affirmation, it could be our income, it could be our gifts and abilities. But the thing with these things is that situations in life change and they're not consistent and they're temporary, they're never going to stay like that. Therefore, the basis of our confidence is a little bit wavy, and we can go through seasons where we don't even know what we're confident in. It's a little bit like a roller coaster. Anybody like roller coasters? Not a big fan, but we'll give it a good go. And the thing with a roller coaster is that normally they go round and round, but they can go up and down, up and down. And I see it as this. Sometimes in life, when we're going well, we're at the top of the roller coaster, full of confidence, and see ourselves as likely contenders. However, when life is messy and we're at the bottom of the roller coaster, things aren't going to plan, we're low in confidence, we want to pull back and not run our race. And so what happens is we go through life and it's just up and down, up and down, up and down. And so there's no way that you can find a grounding because you're just constantly going up and down, up and down, up and down. But in my Bible, and in yours too if you brought it today, it says in Jeremiah 17, verse 7, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him." You see, when you put your confidence in God, he adds to your life. He blesses you. And what happens is sometimes when we put our confidence in other things, we put ourselves in this box of this is what my life looks like, and this is my comfort zone, and this is how life is going to be. But when we put our confidence in God, we have access to unlimited blessings, that we have access to things that we could never imagine, and that actually our life looks totally different because we have confidence not in things that are tangible in terms of we can see, that we rely on, but actually we have confidence in a God that is there, that is blessing us, that is always consistent. And to follow on from that, in 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9 it says, "But he," God, "said to me, my grace is made sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest." You see, being a contender doesn't mean you've got to have it all together, and it doesn't mean that you have to be perfect and be the only Christian in the office who's really nice all the time and does all the right things and ticks all the boxes. But what this verse is saying, that actually when we put our confidence in God, God gives us strength for the fight. That actually when we're going into scenarios and we don't know the outcome, that actually when we put our confidence in him, we've got a trust that is planted on a firm foundation, that you have a life that is based on something solid, because even when you can't do it, he can. And even when you don't know what is on the other side of you stepping out, that actually you're walking with a God who is there right beside you, contending for you. And it's where you put your confidence that actually that is a stable foundation in your life. Therefore, I want to ask you, are you relying on God? Are you putting your confidence in him? I'm not just saying on a Sunday and a Monday when you go to work tomorrow, you go to uni or college or school, that actually is he the one that you are putting your confidence in? I spoke about this because confidence has been something that I have had to contend for in my life. I know you're kind of looking at me and you're like, oh, you stood on a stage and you talk and you're in youth and you're like, ah, in everybody's face. But actually, when I first came to this church, I was actually one of the most underconfident people you've ever met. The thought of even speaking to a room of people made me feel uncomfortable because I was like, that's not my personality. I'm introverted. I'm shy. That's just the box that I live in. But God spoke to me about being a leader and stepping out. And so when I took those steps and said, God, do you know what? I'm going to put my confidence in you. That stretched me, that grew me, that actually it's like, God, I can't do this. But actually, I believe that you can give me the strength to do this. And so that's why I'm speaking to you tonight, not because I'm perfect and confident and, yay, everybody, how you doing? That actually, I put my confidence in a God that is stable, that is consistent, and even in my weakness, that he is strong. And even when I haven't got it all together, that I'm going to run this race for him, but I'm also going to run this race with him, because I know that he is the person that and where I want my confidence to be in. So tonight, do you need to make a decision to put your confidence in God? We're going to come around a time of communion shortly, and maybe it's the first time you've kind of thought about that. And I really want you to take a moment in this atmosphere. Maybe you've come on your own and you need to take that step of confidence and find someone else who you're sat next to that you don't really know and just pray with them. That actually this would be a moment that you'd choose to make a decision to put your confidence in God again. Whenever there's been disappointment or doubt, that actually you choose, God, once again, I put my confidence in you. I know that you are the answer, that I know that you, in you, when I am weak, that you are strong. So in this situation in my life, that you reign, that you are the person that I am putting my trust in. Because this generation needs contenders who know who their confidence is in. To speak to a city who don't know if their confidence is up or down, left or right, that actually us going in and being light shows people that there is a God that loves them, that is there, and even in their brokenness, that he is there with arms wide open for them, cheering them on, and got a plan for their lives.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online, every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.